Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Mistletoe Trap by Cindy Madsen, narrated by Sophia Willingham. Chapter 1. I need help, and I'm not even sure why I called you, but really it's your fault for continuing to be friends with me, even though you're a big football star now. With his best friend Julie's voice filling his ear, Gavin grinned and sat on the bench in the locker room, flinching when he plopped down harder than he'd meant to. If he kept on doing that, he'd need the trainer to work out the muscles in his back as hard as he'd just worked his shoulder. Gavin rolled it, wanting to keep it loose, and switched the phone to his other ear.
I'm not sure whether to say I'm sorry for still liking you, or that I'm currently busy being a big star, so I'll have my people call your people once they manage to actually find a spot in my hectic schedule.
An offended, "Ah!" noise carried over the line. That so won't work for me, mostly because I don't have people. I have you and Kylo Ren, and he's in a mood today.
Can't believe your cat wasn't more helpful.
Pure sarcasm there, because he'd met her temperamental black kitty with the tuft of white fur on his chest. According to her, that was the light side of the Force still inside him, trying to fight off the dark side. Not only was Julie his oldest friend, she was also a bit bonkers in the funniest of ways, which was why he always felt happier after talking to her.
Hey, guys.
DeAndre Smits, one of the enormous defensive tackles, said, as he strolled down the aisle of the San Antonio Mustangs locker room. He had the tiniest towel in history around his waist, the bleached terry cloth contrasting his dark brown skin and drawing far too much attention to his massive thighs. Whistles erupted, and Smits added a hip sachet.
Tell me the truth. Does this towel make my dick look too big?
As he continued strutting his stuff, several of their teammates claimed it wouldn't be big enough to cover theirs. Gavin usually joined in on the razzing, but the pain screeching through his shoulder had dulled his sense of humor.
So what can I help you with? He asked Julie.
I can't decide which swimsuit to bring home with me for Christmas. Not something commonly asked in the locker room, although with the group of guys he played with, he'd heard plenty of odd questions, similar to the one Smits just asked.
Are you gonna give me details, or do I just take a wild stab in the dark and say the red one?
But I don't have a red suit. Which one are you talking about? I don't think I've ever had a red one. Sometimes jokes flew right over her head, particularly when she was preoccupied with something else. In her case, packing with what he was sure was a long, bullet-pointed to-do list.
I'm saying I need more details, or to see them before I can weigh in.
I'm not sending pictures of my swimsuits, Julie said. I know you're not asking, but I'm putting it out there anyway. I feel self-conscious enough just holding them up in the privacy of my own bedroom. No, he wasn't asking for pictures. Not from the girl who'd been his friend since forever. But he'd never asked for pictures of her cat, and he got plenty of those. Same went for the mostly disturbing pictures from her pathology job. Some things, like engorged kidneys, should never be seen outside of the body. Not that he wanted to see them in the body, either. Something he absolutely had to specify when it came to her, "Look how cool!" picture bomb texts. Gavin peeled off the sweatband that kept his dark curls off his forehead and leaned against the cool metal lockers, nodding at a couple of his teammates as they passed. Jason Holt hung back, his desire to be in the center of everything the reason they occasionally referred to him as Gossip Girl.
Talking to your girl? The cute blue-eyed blonde with the dimples?
Gavin twisted the speaker end of the phone away from his mouth.
You know she and I are just friends.
Between the visit she'd made shortly after he'd relocated to San Antonio 8 months ago, the squeezed-in phone calls, and the fact that so many of his childhood stories involved Julie, a lot of his teammates knew her. Thanks to her eternally sunny demeanor, they always wanted to say hi, and became even more enthusiastic about talking to her during video chats.
Then why do you insist on cock-blocking me?
Sorry, Jules. Hold on a sec.
Gavin tapped the mute button.
Because you'd end up being an asshole and hurting her. Then I'd have to kick your ass, and that'd be bad for team morale. I'm not letting you anywhere near her, so forget it. Jason's type was anything female, but he had a weakness for blondes. His interest in Julie, and if she and Gavin were really just friends, had spiked when the guys were over and she'd video-messaged with another emergency situation. She'd been about to go out with her tool boyfriend and required feedback on her outfit, hair, and makeup. Come to think of it, at some point he should probably clarify fashion wasn't his strong suit. Dating advice either, for that matter. But she'd insisted she needed a guy's opinion. Then she asked him to be brutally honest about whether or not she could pull off the glittery dress she had on. Before Gavin could tell her that she looked nice, or that he had company, Jason jammed his face into the camera and replied,
"Hell, sweetheart, I'll take you wherever you want, especially while you're wearing that sexy number. Ditch the boyfriend and come out with me instead."
In order to escape the peanut gallery, Gavin had closed himself off in his bedroom. The makeup, jewelry, and scoop-neck dress had transformed her from the girl who often donned a lab coat and goggles at work and then spent her nights curled up on her couch with her cat, into a much fancier version of herself. A protective surge had seized him, partially because he disliked her boyfriend and didn't have faith the guy could properly protect her if a situation required it. But he'd shoved that away, assured her she looked great, and told her to have a good time at the opera. Not his scene, or hers, as far as he knew, but she'd been trying something new. The next morning, she'd called crying. Even though she'd thought the date had gone well, she'd been unceremoniously dumped. The edge of the phone dug into Gavin's palm as he recalled how helpless he'd felt, and how much he'd wanted to go have a talk with the asshole. A lucky asshole at that, because if he hadn't been a couple of states away... He clenched and released his fist. He still wanted to have a discussion with the guy, but that had happened 4 months ago, and Jules claimed she was over it. "Gavin, are you still there?" He quickly unmuted the call and lifted his phone to his ear again.
"Yeah, I'm here."
Jason leaned in, nearly headbutting him.
"Hi, Julie." "He's talking to Julie?"
A few more of the guys crowded in to say hello, and Gavin put her on speaker so she could hear their enthusiastic greetings and respond, doing his best not to be jealous over his teammates taking up a portion of their limited time.
"At least I'll see her soon. Then maybe it won't feel like we never get to fully catch up." "Why don't you fly her out for a game already, Frost?"
Tyrone Marshall asked.
"I still haven't met her in person." "He's trying to keep her to himself," Jason said,
and then he lifted his hand to the side of his mouth and stage whispered,
"Even though he claims they're just friends."
"We are just friends," Julie said, and Jason grimaced at the phone.
"Forgot you were still on speaker, babe. Did you need advice on another outfit? You know you can call me for tips any time. My number's 726.
"That's it. I'm taking her off speakerphone." Gavin gave a half-hearted kick toward the crowd.
"Now piss off."
"Wait," Julie said. "I do need to tell Jason something." A giant grin spread across Jason's face as he moved closer.
"While we're talking tips, you've really got to stop celebrating before you cross the goal line. You're going to get the ball stripped at the one-yard line during a big game, and I don't like talking to Gavin when he's all crabby from losing."
The guys laughed and jostled Jason. The wide receiver was a huge showboat, but half of it was playing to the crowd, who waited up. Not that Coach Bryant hadn't given him the same lecture about premature celebrations.
"Till next time, Jason!"
Julie hollered out goodbyes to the rest of the guys.
"Now you can take me off speaker, Gavin."
At the tap of the button, her voice switched back to simply being in his ear.
"For someone who's not your girl, she's certainly got you whipped.
Do this."
Jason made a whipping motion, along with the cracking noise.
"Do that."
Gavin flipped him off before turning away so he could focus on Julie. Lately, it'd been hard to touch base, and he really ought to stop taking calls in the locker room or gym, where there were way too many interruptions. Easier said than done, considering he practically lived at the training facility. Not that he was complaining. After 3 years of playing backup to one of the best QBs in the NFL, new owner Lance Quaid had taken a chance on him, and he wasn't going to blow it. Which was why his shoulder needed to chill.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound so bossy, Julie said, and the hint of remorse dug at him. She'd seemed down for weeks, and he resolved to find a way to cheer her up once they were in the same zip code again. Unfortunately, it'd be for only an extended weekend, but at this point he'd take whatever he could get. No worries. I don't give a shit about what Holt thinks anyway. In fact, it's fun watching his shocked expressions when his come-ons roll right off you. He has such a hard time believing you're not affected by his charm. It's not like he was actually coming on to me. He just likes trying to fluster me, and at least this time I was ready for it. Not even close to true, but Gavin meant what he'd said about not letting Jason anywhere near Julie. She'd already dated enough players, and somehow she still saw the best in people, to the point that she occasionally ignored warning signs and ended up hurt. That wasn't happening on his watch ever again. Anyway, circling back to my swimsuit dilemma, what did you put on your packing list? How did you know I... He heard the crumple of paper on the other side of the line. Fine, I have a list, but it literally says, decide which swimsuit to take. I'd like to look sexy while soaking in the hot springs. As sexy as is possible for me, anyway. But our families and everyone we went to high school with will undoubtedly be around as well. His stomach clenched, and somehow the bottom still fell right out of it. He'd been so psyched for his long holiday weekend with Julie and his family that he'd managed to suppress the possibility of a run-in with his ex-girlfriend. Gavin hadn't seen Kristen since the devastating breakup the tabloids speculated about and reporters sporadically brought up if he slipped and let his guard down. Didn't matter that it ended during his second season with the Pythons, right around the playoffs at that. Guess that was what happened when you proclaimed how strong and unbreakable your relationship with your high school and college sweetheart was shortly after you were drafted. It made the haters all the more ravenous when it crumbled apart. So maybe that means I should go for a sturdy, full-coverage suit. Julie continued, and he shoved away his past drama to concentrate on her words. Plus, your family's forever insisting on playing a pickup game. And you're more of a belly flop girl. Hey! She paused, and he could picture her gnawing on her lower lip. But you're right. Sturdy it is. It's not like I can flirt with our families around anyway. Which reminds me, has your mom started dropping hints again about how you and I should totally be a couple?
You've met Darlene Frost, right? She doesn't drop hints. She smashes you over the head with them.
He pitched his voice as high as it would go to imitate his mom.
Julie's single again, you know. She's such a beautiful, sweet girl and so smart, too. It's amazing how well she fits right in with our family. In case you haven't realized it yet, it's also the first time in years you've both been unattached at the same time. Let me guess, you evaded and brought up the success I've had in my career. He laughed, because he'd tried that very method. I went on and on about how you'd landed a big promotion and added how proud I am of my good buddy.
Her intelligence had never been in question, and neither were any of the other positive attributes Mom rattled off whenever Julie's name came up, but they'd never had the sort of spark that led to more. He supposed if he looked at Julie objectively, taking into account the blonde waves, bright blue eyes, and those dimples Jason had referred to, she was beautiful. But he couldn't look at her objectively. She was Julie, daughter of his parents' best friends. They'd been pals since birth. While it'd been a bit forced during the toddler stage, and they often fought like siblings, they'd grown even closer as they struggled through the awkward junior high phase. By the time high school rolled around, their names were synonymous with each other, which had caused plenty of friction when it came to other women. Although having known both of them for most of their lives, his last ex-girlfriend, Kristen, had been more understanding than most. When his parents weren't stirring the pot. Separating for college only magnified how nice it was to have a friend who knew you backward and forward, didn't put up with your crap, and gave a mixture of encouragement and tough love. The best thing was, Julie felt the same way about him. People often asked if they were more than friends, and they'd both always replied with a resounding no. That was what made things so easy and uncomplicated between them. They could kick back and just be. The last thing he'd ever do was mess that up. He'd already done that to his other most important hometown relationship, and the loss of it, never again.
On my end, my parents keep reciting your impressive football stats, Julie said, as if I'm not watching your games myself every weekend.
Warmth flooded his chest. It was good to know she was cheering for him from the sidelines, even if the sidelines were farther away than he'd prefer.
My mom says stuff like, "Look at the way he and the Mustangs are pulling together and climbing the ranks. If you don't act soon, you're going to lose him to some trophy wife type." Which is insulting on two levels. One, it's not very feminist forward thinking. And two, she's implying that I'm not trophy wife material.
"Well, I've seen your impressive collection of science trophies, so I have no doubt that one day you'll make some man a very opinionated trophy wife, who runs several labs and doesn't take shit from anyone."
Ah, you sweet talker, you. By the way, after last week's game, my dad asked if I saw that amazing route you ran. And I was like, of course I did. I actually taught him that move at the very end.
Since the call was going longer than expected, not that he was in a hurry to end it, Gavin tucked the phone between his shoulder and neck and pulled on his jeans.
"Wait, I don't remember you teaching me that move."
He'd learned that thread-the-needle-and-pivot technique during his time second-stringing it on the pythons.
"You fell at the end, didn't you?"
His chuckle nearly made him drop the phone.
"I was tackled."
"Dude, I don't even need help to fall. Pretty sure that puts my skills ahead of yours."
"Normally, I'm competitive to a fault."
"Oh, I know."
He slipped his t-shirt over his head.
"But I'll let you have that one."
"I earned that title. Don't go acting like you gave it to me."
Damn, he missed her. He always did. But with her voice in his ear, reminding him how easy talking to her was, he somehow missed her that much more. Nobody made him laugh the way she did, and his grin spread as he recalled how she sometimes got so excited she forgot to pay attention to her surroundings and tripped over inanimate objects. While he'd be the first to pick her up and dust her off, she always poked fun at herself and shook it off. She was the smartest, most awkward person he knew, and she could put her foot in her mouth in 2 seconds flat. They'd made do with texts, calls, and video chats, but in person, he experienced that same calm as getting home after a hard day, pulling on a pair of worn-in sweatpants and flopping on the couch. They'd always had each other's backs, too.
"Pack both swimsuits," he said. "It's not like they take up much room, and then you'll be prepared for anything. And if you want to flirt with some beefcake at the hot springs, I'll block our families and help you score."
"Wow, a beefcake even," she said with a laugh, which was why he'd chosen that word. But then a wistful exhalation carried over the line. "It's been an awful long time since I scored." When it came to touchdowns, he'd had several this past season, and hopefully would complete more in tomorrow night's game. In the sense of the word they were currently discussing, though, he was experiencing a dry spell himself. Not only had he uprooted his life to move to Texas, he hadn't even fully unpacked before practices began. In a lot of ways, the team had been reformed from scratch. The first few games of the season were sloppy, but they'd hit their stride and were second in their league as of last weekend.
"Sorry, Jules, but speaking of time, I gotta go. Unlike you, I haven't made a list or done laundry, and until I do, I don't have any clean clothes to pack."
Her familiar, exasperated sigh caused an odd swirl of happiness.
"All that traveling and you still procrastinate till the last minute? Have I taught you nothing?"
"I guess I need a refresher. See you soon."
"Can't wait," she said, and she wasn't the only one.
Julie hung up and tossed her phone on the bed beside her organized piles and tightly rolled outfits. She'd felt silly calling Gavin for advice on swimsuit options, but she frequently analyzed to the point she simply needed someone else to tell her what to do. Gavin had been that person for so long that she couldn't quite break the habit of calling him for advice, even on the inane. Regardless of how famous he became, or how much the sports analysts, who discounted him at first, were fawning over him now, Gavin Frost would always be the boy she'd grown up with. Her partner during Sesame Street marathons, where they shared goldfish crackers and juice boxes. Well, she'd freely shared.
He typically required convincing and threats of being told on. He'd also been the boy who taught her to do a flip on the trampoline, promptly followed by rushing to get their parents after she catapulted off the side and broke her arm. Julie picked up the sturdier one-piece swimsuit in conservative and slimming black. It brought to mind the swimsuit she'd had in junior high, and the day Gavin had persuaded her to climb into the hole he and his teammates had dug and buried her up to her chin. Then he'd walked away. For 2 whole minutes, just enough to worry her. She'd threatened him in every creative way she could conjure, and he'd kept her hostage until she pinky swore she wouldn't follow through on her threats. Only they hadn't actually linked pinkies, because hers had been buried. So once she was free, she'd surged up from that hole, tackled him, and made him eat sand. Ah, the good old days, before he'd grown so much taller and stronger. She'd stopped shy of 5'1", but claimed that last inch anyway, and by the end of high school he'd had over a foot on her. He'd also had plenty of groupies and a serious girlfriend by that point, but he'd never been embarrassed to have her tagging along, despite his much cooler group of teammates and friends. The frame on her nightstand caught her eye, and she paused her packing to pick up one of her all-time favorite pictures. She'd graduated medical school the same weekend Gavin had a big game, so while she'd been sad he couldn't make it, she'd understood. But he'd taken a red-eye flight, rushed to the ceremony to surprise her, and handed over a bundle of so many helium-filled balloons she feared she might drift off into the blue, blue sky. Her parents beamed from her right, while Rashad and Darlene Frost stood on her left, doing their best to dodge the balloons that bopped them every time Julie moved. She and Gavin were front and center, his bronze skin making her pale skin look even more ghostly than usual. Then again, she'd spent 2 years studying indoors while he'd been playing football in the sunshine. A thrill of excitement fired up her core as she anticipated all the fun they were going to have over Christmas break. Unfortunately, with his hectic schedule and playoffs looming, Gavin would be there in 2 to 3 day bursts. But still, it'd been way too long. Ooh, I wonder if I can get him to watch that new rom-com that just came out. Pouting worked like a charm on Gavin, although she'd never figured out how to stop him from mocking the flick as it played. But the truth was, as hard as she worked to be a strong, independent woman, and she was, damn it, she hated watching movies alone. It simply wasn't as fun to quote lines afterward and ask, "Hey, remember that scene?" to her empty living room. While she had a few friends at her pathology assistant job, they were coupled and busy, and ever since her promotion she hardly saw them. Longing rose up and bound her lungs. These days, she hardly saw anyone. All she did was work and come home to her cat. She was surprised he wasn't currently begging for attention, come to think of it. And then off she'd go to work again. "Because I'm boring," with a side of embarrassing. The words jabbed at the raw place in her heart that she thought had healed. Okay, so maybe talking about the size of the tumor I'd dissected after a laryngectomy wasn't appropriate during the intermission of the opera, but... A grunt escaped as she bent to grab her suitcase from under the bed. How does one not think about that when someone's singing so high? That was part of the reason her ex-boyfriend had dumped her, though, even after she'd purchased expensive opera tickets in an attempt to be the refined kind of woman Brad had wanted. Things had felt distant during the last 2 months of their relationship, so she'd thrown herself into making him happy. After the opera, they'd had sex for the first time in weeks, so she'd assumed she'd been successful. But the next morning, when she launched into a work story, he'd said, "I'm sorry, I just can't do this anymore." She was foolish enough to ask why. "Well, these stories, for one, Julie. Last night you told those people seated next to us about some gross neck tumor. Not only was it embarrassing, you used enough medical jargon it managed to be boring, too. I powered through sex last night, but lately it's just so... lackluster. You're a nice girl, so I tried to make this work, but I can't do it anymore. I need a lot more excitement in my life. Something to look forward to at the end of the day, you know?" No, she had not known. Nice girl. Embarrassing. Powered through sex. Boring. The insults whirring through her head effectively picked off the scab in her heart, leaving the old wound to ooze and bleed yet again.
She lifted the hot pink bikini with the built-in push-up bra she'd purchased online, after deciding that what she needed was a steamy, no-holds-barred fling.
After all, boring people didn't have flings, and what better time than over Christmas break? Honestly, it was the only time she had to be flung, and with any luck, it also helped her avoid feeling completely pathetic during her and Gavin's family's attempts to play matchmaker. As if she'd crossed lines with her oldest friend and ruined their perfect relationship. And that was without taking into account the plethora of beautiful women who threw themselves at him all the freaking time. How can either of our families still think that's going to ever happen? They're completely delusional. They were the best, and she considered both sets of parents her own, but they'd been harping on her and Gavin to become more since they were babies. Their favorite inside joke was to refer to their boyfriends and girlfriends as not Gavin or not Julie. Kylo Ren leaped onto the bed and flopped on top of the neatly piled clothes with a contented purr. There went her chance at wearing outfits not covered in black cat hair. She scratched the top of his head as she contemplated her lofty goal. Landing a hottie for the holiday might tiptoe the delusional line, but she needed to erase her last sexual memory and replace it with one that wouldn't make her lady parts want to shrivel up in shame. She'd considered relaying her plan to Gavin, but chickened out. And was it weird she'd almost wanted him to tell her to only bring the sensible swimsuit? That way she could have snapped her fingers and said, "Aw, shucks, guess I'll have to have that fling once I return to Phoenix instead." The main problem with giving up before she even began was that she really missed sex. Not that her ex had been all that great at it, the jerky-faced jerk. How misogynistic of him to be condescending about her medical knowledge, too. She'd bet $1 million he didn't go into the doctor for a checkup, only to say, "Hey, can you make my visit more exciting? It's so boring how you refer to the parts of my body by their exact names." If anything, her anatomy expertise should make her better at sex, right? If Brad were to be believed, she needed to up her game. She could, and often did, take constructive criticism. So no worries, she'd simply learn how to be better at it. Of course, she also missed the intimacy that came along with relationships, but she couldn't very well jump into a relationship and expect it to last if she were awful between the sheets. She needed a few practice rounds, followed by a dress rehearsal or two, or a naked rehearsal, as it were. Kylo Ren bumped his forehead into her hand, conveying she'd stopped petting, which he found unacceptable. "Gavin said he'd block our family so I can flirt with a beefcake. So that'll help." Her emo kitty's eyes narrowed to slits, and his purr filled the air. I was skeptical, too. I literally thought, like, I could actually land a beefcake. Kylo flopped down and snuggled his nose into his own tail. While she understood cats required hours upon hours of sleep, it was semi-insulting he didn't delay his nap until she'd finished pouring her heart out. "Honestly, I'd be perfectly happy with a smart, semi-scrawny dude who can give it to me nice and hard." Julie wrinkled her nose. "I can't even pull off saying, 'give it to me nice and hard,' can I?" Kylo Ren lifted his head and meowed, but it was hard to tell if it was more on the agree or disagree side of the scale. As she was ever so sanely analyzing his response, Kylo rolled onto his back, legs spread, a come-hither gleam in his eyes. "Not to be judgy, but the flop and spread your legs move is a bit too forward for me, kitty. Plus, I don't think I'm cute enough to pull it off the way you do. And now I'm pretty sure considering taking dating advice from my neutered cat is a low point. That's it." If it weren't for the hot springs, the idea of taking tiny clothing of any kind to Colorado would be a waste of space. But that was her sensible side talking. She was a dimensional human, with plenty of other facets. And to prove it, she tossed the pink bikini on top of the pile of clothes she'd tightly rolled and placed inside her suitcase. No matter what, this fling is happening. Chapter 2. The airport display was ridiculous. Two sets of parents holding two huge signs that screamed, "Welcome, and we love you," in glitter paint. They yelled her name like she was a rock star, too. And although it caused her cheeks to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?